The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is February 17th, 2013, for those listening live. And it's whatever time you might be listening, if you're listening to the recording. Either way, welcome, and I'm so glad that you're joining me. Today, we're going to go a little bit back in time. I guess that's why this has come up. We're going to go a little bit back in time and talk about some energies of the recent holiday. Anyway, but before we go back, let's go forward into deeper connection. And to do that, as always, drop in your breathing to a deeper level. Just allow yourself to open up. And as you open up in that way, the first connection to expand is the connection with your own divinity, with your own mastery, your own soul. Whatever term you might use, just allow yourself to breathe and open that connection. And make the choice, give yourself the permission to feel your divinity, your power more fully, right in this moment. No need to define what that feels like, just open to feeling it to whatever degree you can. And as you breathe into that, allow it to fill your physical, allow it to fill your emotional, allow it to fill your mental, allow it to fill your energy field, and then allow it to flow into all those connections that we call relationships. And know that this open flow of your divinity into your life, we're just going to set that where it is and allow that to remain open throughout the time we spend together here. And that last piece, flowing that energy out into all of your relationships, that's essentially what we are doing with these other pieces here as we begin today, as we begin every week. And so, the next piece then is to open up those connections in your relationship with our Mother Earth. Just open up the door and allow your divine energy to flow. Allow your personal energy to flow, that which you think of more when you think of you and defining who you are. And at the same time, you're also opening up to allow her energy to flow into you. And again, to fill you on the physical, to fill you on the emotional, to fill you on the mental, to fill your energy field. And even to flow into your relationships, and in that sense, helping each of your relationships become more grounded than they've been before. Whatever that might mean for you in each of those relationships, bringing more of this connection
with our Mother Earth into those relationships helps you to be more grounded within them. And as you're breathing that energy up and in, and as you're allowing your energy to flow out down to her to be shared with her, allow yourself as well to connect with the gratitude for being in a body right now, for being on this planet in these dimensions as the transformation is occurring. And as you share that gratitude with her, and as you share your love of whatever it is you love in this lifetime, allow yourself to share with her that. Like telling a good friend that you just discovered your favorite food, your favorite new food. That's the kind of thing you're sharing here with our Mother Earth. Just letting her know what you love about being alive. And as you share your gratitude and that energy of love, you're creating more space, you're opening more space to receive even more of her love and support to flow into you on all levels. And again, knowing that this expanded interaction, this expanded relationship with our Mother Earth is going to remain this open throughout the time we spend together here today. Let's move on and open some more connections into a higher level of consciousness. And the next connections that we look to, that we open to, are the connections with all of the divine beings who are here in support of you, who are here in support of us. And it's opening up into those and allowing yourself to receive that love and support. It's always there, but it's about allowing it to become more conscious for you, allowing yourself to expand in how you're able to receive it and how you're able to experience it. And so open at your physical dimension, open at your emotional dimension, open at your mental dimension. Open your entire energy field. And indeed, open up those connections that we call your relationships, allowing this divine support to flow into there. So that as you're interacting within that relationship, in whatever way, you can maintain a higher connection with divine support. And again, just allow this to flow. And allow your gratitude to come up and share that with these divine beings. And once more, allow your love to come up and share it with them, the things that you love, especially about walking the spiritual path, the things that they have helped you to open into more fully. Give your thanks to them and share that you love those experiences. And once more, that opens you up to receive even more of their love and support, accepting even more of their love and support in your energy field, in your life right now. And continuing along that line of opening up into the flow of relationships, into all those connections, we're going to open up the flow of relationships that are about this community, exposing the masters within community, and allow yourself to open up to receive the support of the shared intention. Everyone here connecting, consciously or unconsciously, is here connecting because they're desiring to step more into their mastery, more into their power, to discover that divine essence that is the core and the truth of who we are, and share that with the world, to expose that, to express that. And so as we connect together, as we open up to connect with each other and this shared intention, we find ourselves buoyed, supported, and having a greater ease as we flow forward together than we had when we were walking it by ourselves. And so just allow yourself to receive that and know that your intention to open in this way is always flowing back into the mass consciousness that we have created here. even as you're receiving that support from others, you're giving it to them without having to effort. It's just part of who you are and how you're expressing and the intentions that you're living right now. So again, this flows into us on all levels, physical, emotional, mental. Our entire energy field is amplified by this support. And so we step again, open up again to another level. And this time, it is in connecting with all of humanity. For all of humanity has a shared intention. Again, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, each individual somewhere in the core does have that desire for things to be better than they are. The definition of what that means changes, but that desire remains, because if it did not remain, there would be no reason left to live. And so allow yourself to connect in with that energy of that deep, deep, deep intention in all of humanity for improvement, for things to be better. And allow yourself to, again, feel lifted, supported by that shared desire, that shared intention. And instead of just having it as a hope, it is an intention for you. And allow yourself to step into that intention and receive the support. Feel that support coming in. Physically, emotionally, and mentally. Feel it filling your energy field and flowing into all of your relationships, allowing all of your relationships to feel more supported in moving into whatever would make them better. And so we get a smaller subset again this time. It's in between those who are of our community here with this radio program and those who are all of the humans on the planet. And it is those who are the conscious light workers, those who are consciously choosing in whatever way on their own path, consciously choosing to move forward into their empowerment, into their expression of their own light more and more fully. And again, this energy of shared intention, of moving into empowerment, and of supporting others who are moving into empowerment, it's an energy that we can tap into, that we can allow to support us, that we can open to receiving, flowing in, filling our energy field, filling our physical, our emotional, and our mental levels, filling our entire energy field, and again, flowing into all of our relationships. Just allow yourself at this moment, as we close out this portion of today's program, just allow yourself to breathe and feel all of that support. Feel all of that openness. Feel all of that flow. Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining me in opening up these pathways on this day in this way. And now that we've opened up all those connections, for those of you who may have joined a little bit late, I said we're going to go back to the holiday. Well, not sure if it's exactly a holiday in the original sense of Holy Day, although for many people it is. And that's the holiday of Valentine's Day. And the reason I'm going to go back there and talk is because of what came up for me today to talk about. And it feels appropriate to connect it in with that holiday of Valentine's Day. And that is the energy of solitude. So take a deep breath and just breathe into the energy of solitude. For some of you, it is an energy you know very well. It's an energy that you are very comfortable with. For others of you, that is something that you try to avoid. And for still others, you're somewhere in between. And, well, there's a lot to say about this, but before we go any further, I just want to give you a little more space to breathe into that. So I'm actually going to do what they say never to do on the radio, which is give a little what they call dead air, just a little silence to breathe into the solitude. Okay. And, well, first, just notice for yourself how that felt when you breathe into solitude. Does that feel comfortable? You may be someone who defines yourself as someone who's very comfortable with solitude, but that may not have been your experience. You may have been someone who doesn't necessarily think that you're comfortable with solitude, but you may have been very comfortable in that space. And so just notice where you're at in this moment in relation to that energy. And notice any thoughts that might be coming up about solitude, about its desirability or its non-desirability, its undesirability for you. Because again, for some people, they are more socially oriented. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, necessarily, to be more socially oriented. But I would say it's a very useful, very beneficial thing, especially in walking this path, to get comfortable with solitude if you're not already comfortable with solitude. And so breathe into that thought for a moment. Just see how that feels for you. And I want to throw in another thought, another word here, and see how this feels. Isolation. Breathe into that. See how that feels. All right. For most people, probably not as good. And, well, although for some people, solitude may not have felt good at all. But there's an important difference here to me in that the way I think of solitude, it's something that I'm choosing, whereas isolation is something being chosen for me. It's being imposed upon me. It's like someone who's sick being put in quarantine or the isolation ward at the hospital, that sort of thing. It's forcible aloneness. It's forced upon us. And I put that there as contrast because, again, you may have a very different feeling toward isolation than solitude. I'm not suggesting, although of course, the more empowered we are, the more we can move whatever negative emotion might come up, even in relation to solitude, whatever, or in relation to isolation, rather. We can move that sense of frustration. We can move that sense of, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. I'm being isolated, etc. Isolation is, well, it's the energy behind the age-old punishment of banishment from the community. It's the energy behind in many, well, many relationships have this. Some more consciously than others, some as a more conscious tool than others, but the silent treatment, again, that's the energy of isolation being imposed upon us when the other person just won't respond to us, is going to ignore us, is essentially cutting us off. And that doesn't feel good. And I think for many people, solitude feels like isolation. Now, in the way that I'm talking about this here, what that means is just being alone brings up those feelings of being excluded. And so for those who might feel that way, that's a really powerful pattern to acknowledge. Because to me, it's very important to be able to have solitude in general. I think that's true for everyone if we really desire to walk this path. Because solitude gives us the space, if we choose to take it, not everyone takes it, and certainly I'm not suggesting that in every moment when we're not with other people, we have to be focused inward doing this kind of work. That's not what I'm suggesting. But it is solitude that we claim that allows us enough self-awareness to be able to move into greater empowerment. Now, that's not to say that spiritual growth cannot come in and through relationships. It absolutely can. But if we are always in the presence of others, it's very hard to have our personal experience and own it. Some of you may know this more than others if you come from larger families. Or, for instance, if you, as I did growing up, shared a room with a sibling. It's harder to have your own space. It's more of a struggle to claim space for yourself. And for me, what I did growing up, how I got there is irrelevant but to this discussion, but what I did growing up to find solitude was I went into books. Because I could go into that other world, the world that was in the book, and not have this other world imposed upon me in that moment. And I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was trying to isolate myself, trying to get that solitude that didn't really much exist because I was... Once I was in school, I was off at school, and then I was in the activities, then I was home, and I didn't have my own space in the house. It was a shared space. So I couldn't go in there and close the door and get solitude. I couldn't guarantee it anyway. I might go in there and get it, but I was never certain when my brother was going to come home and show up, and that solitude would be gone. As I got older, on into high school, went into music as another place to go. Although it's much easier now. Look at how many people are walking around now creating solitude for themselves in a seeming act of communication. I did it through music with the stereo. I didn't have headphones. I couldn't take it to that degree. But look at what happens, and especially look at what happens for younger people, younger than me anyway, when the iPod came out and the various other MP3 players to play digital music, and the headphones got replaced by the earbuds to create that place. It may not be what we think. What I think of as solitude. Solitude to some degree is going into the silence. Solitude is heading toward the void. But sometimes we need a barrier, a sound barrier. This has been for at least the several generations in America anyway. It's been what the teenagers have done with music. I'm going to create a sound barrier between myself and my parents by choosing music that they find reprehensible and playing it too loud. And I'll create this barrier so that I can have some solitude, some space to myself. So these are just some of the ways in which we're creating this. But again, how much is this happening as we turn our focus toward all of these gadgets into the computer, into the television, into even the movies, depending upon the people that are at the movie, at the theater? It's a communal experience in that you're sharing energies, but most of the people are not going to talk during it. Still further removed is sitting in front of the television, although again, it's a communal experience if you're watching television with someone else, but it's not necessarily an interactive one directly. So these are ways in which we seem to connect on certain levels, but I think they're part of us, part of our communal expression of seeking solitude. And that's perhaps an odd way to say it, a communal need, a communal attempt to create solitude, to find that individually, because it is important to have that time for reflection. And again, I'm making a proclamation here that's what it's about, that solitude gives us the space. Reflection, what does that mean? Well, it means having something come back to us. It's allowing the previous moments to come up, our responses, our reactions to what's been going on around us, to come back up so we can see it, so that we can become more aware of how we are acting and responding in the world, and to step into more conscious choices, more conscious intentions. And in some ways, well, even more so now with cell phones and especially smartphones, people walking around continuously looking at this thing, this small little thing that they hold in their hand, not taking in their environment. Granted, the phone is part of the environment, but it's not the whole of the environment. And what are they doing? Focusing on this little thing, seeming to connect with the world, but it's this world at a distance. It's the next thing. All these apps for finding the nearby store or the nearby Pizza Hut or the nearby deli or the nearby whatever. That's in the future. Right now, where I'm standing right now, where I'm sitting right now, where I'm driving right now, is this moment. And granted, if you don't know where you're going, it's not bad to have GPS and connect to a next destination to find that gas station so you can fill up and not run out of gas. But again, it's taking us out of the moment. Even the sense of isolation is in the moment. And so to me, in some degrees, it's much more desirable than being just focused into the future. Now, that brings me to another pair of words. We've got solitude and isolation. And solitude to me goes with the word alone. Alone to me is neutral. But the word I'm pairing it with for contrast is lonely. Lonely is subjective. It's experiential. Alone describes that there's no one else around. It's about the physical state. Lonely describes the emotional state of missing having others around. solitude, in some ways, comes out of alone, and it's alone that's chosen consciously, or at least desirable, whereas isolation is aloneness that is not chosen, and that is uncomfortable. If you want to make someone mad who is practicing the silent treatment on you, ignore them. If it makes you mad, if it upsets you, if it annoys you, if it does whatever, move that negative energy and watch what happens. Eventually that person will get very annoyed that their silent treatment is not causing you to have a bad day. Now, I'm not doing that to suggest that we play mind games with each other. But if someone's throwing the silent treatment at you, they started it. Regardless of what you did that got them to do this, that's not an adult or responsible way to deal with whatever offense they took at something you did or said. So anyway, that's not exactly permission to go screw with other people, but if they're doing it to you first, what the heck. Now, back to the ideas of alone and lonely and isolation and solitude. That's kind of the jumping off point that took me to the idea of connecting with Valentine's Day. And for me, I was aware of it this year, but I'm not in any kind of a partnership, so, and I'm not looking for any kind of a partnership right now. So it wasn't that loneliness was triggered for me. But it's such a huge thing in our culture. How much money is spent on cards and candy and flowers and lingerie and other things? How much money is spent on going out? And nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with celebrating the energy of love, and specifically in this sense, the energy of love within partnership. But there's almost a feeling among certain people, and there's lots of movies out there that will reflect this, and television shows, sitcoms especially, that reflect this, that the desire to find the true love, the partner, the, although I hate this term, the twin flame or the soulmate, many people are desperate to do that. And culturally, we've put it up this way. We've set it up this way. We amplify it. I've known people who, well, not that I hang around them anymore, or at least they don't share this with me if they still think this way, but who would play the what's wrong with them game. What's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? And they would try to count the flaws. Why is it that so-and-so doesn't have a date? Not just for Valentine's Day, but for any occasion. And would use that as a way to feel superior, especially if they were in a relationship at the time. And it's built in to a degree with how much we compare ourselves to others. Look at all the advertising that is the pretty people. Use this product and you get to spend time with the pretty people. You get to become one of the pretty people. And so much of our culture is trying to program us with this idea, with this belief, that if you're alone, you must be lonely. In other words, if you're alone, it's because you've been isolated, not because you chose to do it. It's an interesting perspective. If you think about the word eccentric, most often, well, unless you're like me and you apply it to yourself or your good friends, most often the word eccentric, one of the core aspects of an eccentric is how much time they spend alone. Yes, they tend to engage in behavior that society in general describes as odd. But it makes me wonder how much of the time the eccentric chooses to do the odd thing as a way to self-isolate and get some solitude. And maybe it just gets out of hand. Becomes a little too isolating. Or maybe not. Maybe they enjoy that much solitude. But there's always something a little bit mysterious about the ones who go off and live outside of the norms of whatever culture. And it's celebrated in certain ways, the explorers and the adventurers, and even the hermits and the mystics, that kind of gets celebrated, but not necessarily by everyone. It also led to witch burnings and the Inquisition. If you're different, you were dead. And we live in a world and in a time where there are more people than ever before. Read a book not that long ago about the search for silence and how in some ways it's basically impossible to find on the planet. Not that it was ever truly possible to find on the planet, but it's now more impossible than ever before. Even if you just go to not so much the search for silence, but the search for only natural sounds, it's really difficult to find on the planet anymore. Certainly, especially in the areas where there are people. Seems kind of self-evident. But you have to go very, 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 very far away before you are not going to be able to hear a plane, are not going to be able to hear that roar, that distant sound of a highway, or the hum of an air conditioner, or a furnace kicking in. And I think there's a degree to which that's driving us crazy. I know that we are built to be in relationship with each other. But we were also built, from an evolutionary perspective, for a world that was much less crowded, where we could get our solitude, where we could have space to just be, to not have to do something, to not have to figure something out. And I'm not attempting to romanticize hunter-gatherer societies here. I'm just purely looking at space. And being grateful for the amount of it I have. I joke with, well, many people that I know, but I joke about being a hermit. And in many ways I am, compared to most people I am. It's not that I'm antisocial, except sometimes. And I don't know how much of this is a conscious choice and how much of it is that program. the patterns that I stepped into of taking care of myself by going into my own world. And that did contribute to me ending up where I'm at, walking this path and sharing in the ways that I'm sharing. I know if I spent less time in solitude, I wouldn't get as much shift on my path, at least for right now, which is probably why I'm not in a partnership right now, at least part of it. Because it's a time when there's tremendous opportunity for growth. And so I'll come back around to Valentine's Day. And I would just ask you to consider what your experience of it was. Might have been great. Might have been with another person. Might have been entirely alone. What came up about that? What came up about these four words? Alone, solitude, isolation, and lonely. Did any of them register at all as you think back or feel your way back to Valentine's Day? And I would just bring in here that idea of love and what it is. What it is. At its core, to me, it's acceptance. Unconditional love is pure acceptance. And for me, may not be true for everyone, but for me, to move into greater acceptance, I need solitude. I need space. I need that alone time to be able to notice what I'm doing, to allow some pattern or other that I'm running that I'd like to change to come to my awareness so I can discover it and actually make choices about changing it so that I can discover that I actually desire for it to change. Because although relationships are wonderful at bringing things to the surface, there aren't necessarily that many for most people in which we can easily explore with each other new possibilities or pieces that it would be good to change or to shift or to expand or to grow in order to come more into our power. Most of us aren't blessed with a lot of those relationships where we feel fully supported and safe to do our own self-discovery while we're interacting with another. Which brings me to another piece of this that's different. It's coming back around again, that energy of silence. And although true silence, we're not going to get. Turning off the computer and the cell phone and the television, turning off the stereo and the iPod, turning off these toys of external focus and stepping into a place of solitude that is also silence. In some ways, for me, this is one of the greatest gifts of meditation. Now, I am not a regular meditator in terms of sitting down in the disciplined way and doing a meditation exercise. I do go into meditation when I channel, but that's not the same time every day. But I think that is one of the benefits of meditation, is that it is going into that solitude, going into, if not true silence, at least a focus where we're not focusing outward, where we're focusing in, where it's allowing things to come to the surface of consciousness that we then can make choices about, that we then can explore who we are and who we desire to be and how we desire to express in the world. So, I thank you for joining me in this journey today in sharing this. And I would encourage you, in whatever way you feel is appropriate for you, to explore this, to explore your comfort zone around solitude and isolation, around aloneness versus loneliness, and around silence and inner focus versus external focus. Ultimately, it is all about finding our own unique balance, and it's never going to be the same from one moment to the next, let alone one day to the next, or a week to the next, or month to the next, or year to the next. But the question is the balance where you would like it to be, where you would choose it to be, where you would desire it to be right now? So, play with that, if you so desire. That's not an order. Now, at this moment, I'm going to do a brief commercial announcement, very brief, and it is about the process that I have begun. I'm now 2 in for the year that is taking place with the new moon each month this year, called the Quickening. And the purpose is to help awaken an expanded, direct, more direct experience of divinity in your life. And the associated private session that goes with that, I've done one of those for most everyone who's choosing to do them now. And that's called the Deepening. And I can tell you from the experience and the feedback I've received that it's well worth doing. And in spite of my resistance at first to put forth that intention that this is what it was going to do, that it was going to take people into a greater experience, a more direct experience of divinity, I'm now quite content with that. I don't know what it will look like for any individual, but I can say that it's already happening for the great majority of the people who are doing this work, even only 2 sessions in. Things have shifted. So, I would invite you to join us. All the information is on the website, ourearthpass.com. It's under the Quickening. And all the power, all the activation, all the shifting is available through the recordings. Now, we've got about 3 weeks until the next one, which I believe is March 11th, Monday, March 11th is the next group one, I think. Close to that date, if not. And so there'd be plenty of time to catch up with these first 2 if you haven't done them already. If you have any questions, you can always email or call. Anyway, let's go on into the channeling here. Allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning and see who is coming to join us. Hello, dear ones. This is the Buddha come to be with you today. And so. What are you sowing today? What are you planting the seeds of? Because Because know that even though you create with everyone else, you are co-creating in every single moment. You are the primary. You. You. And so, every day, if you choose to walk this path toward empowerment, every day, take at least one step there. Take at least one action. Make at least one choice and one intention or one clarification that moves you closer to your empowerment. It could just be one conscious breath. It could just be one belly laugh. Could just be one orgasm. It could just be anything. But it is about you being present with it. And you are the only one who will be with you in body every single moment of this lifetime. No matter how close you are to anyone else, married or not, they can't even be with the external you 24/7. Let alone be in your inner world 24/7. Or in truth, in most cases, at all. What you think you are connecting, when you think you are connecting. Most of the time, it is the reflection of your own that you are seeing. In other words, you are projecting your energy onto the other and saying, oh, look how alike she is to me. Look how alike he is to me. But you're not seeing them. You're seeing your own reflection in their sunglasses. And so, the more you can take the time to get to know yourself. You may think you know yourself. But until you are really allowing yourself to be present in each moment, you are not knowing yourself. And so, the greatest gift that you can give to yourself is simply time to be without having to accomplish something, without having to receive anything, but being open to the flow of what is coming up and going out of you, and being open to the flow of what is coming to you. And noticing when your attachments come. And noticing when your should comes up. Oh, I should be in relationship. Oh, I should take care of this. Oh, I should have fixed that. So that you can let those go. So that you can perceive the limitations in them. So allow yourself right now to breathe deeply and to close your eyes and to focus within your heart and to imagine a light in the very center of your heart that is like a seed. And let's use the Judeo-Christian tradition and use it and turn it into the mustard seed, even if you don't know what one of those looks like. And let yourself feel this light, this seed pulsing. And now feel it spreading. Not growing in size, but spreading, cloning itself. And now there's not just one in the heart, but there's one in the solar plexus and in the second chakra and in the root and in the throat and in the third eye and in the crown. And allow yourself to feel them pulsing in unison. or in sequence, but pulsing together in some way related to each other. And ask for them to align in whatever way serves you in this moment. So for some, that will be all of them pulsing as one. And for others, it will be sequential. And for still others, it will almost look like code. But it will be aligning and working together in opening you into greater awareness. And now notice each of these seeds changing shape, blooming, if you will, skipping the plant, going straight from seed to flower. And feel that in each of these chakras. And breathe with that and feel it again as there's another shift, and now it goes from flower to fruit instantaneously. For most, different fruit in each chakra. For some, the same in all. No right or wrong, just what is. And allow yourself in each chakra to feel the vibration, the different vibration of the fruit that is there. And allow each of them, each of those vibrations, to spread throughout your being. Coming into a new expression in terms of sound. And feel that sound synchronizing, aligning as well into the symphony of your soul. And know that that is what you are here to discover, to experience, and to express your own particular soul symphony, soul sound, soul light. So fill yourself with that as we take our leave. Much love, dear ones. Namaste. Okay. Thank you to the Buddha. Thank you, Doug, for starting those chimes up here whenever you're ready. Thank you to all of you for helping to co-create this with me here today. I cannot do it without you. Whether you were here live or will listen to the recording, you and your energy have co-created this with me here today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I, of course, am always open to hearing your feedback, what you like, what you don't like, thoughts, ideas, topics, questions, and even guests. Someday I'll have another guest. I've got a list, but I have to make phone calls to do that. Leave my solitude. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day and a marvelous week. I will be back same time, same place next week. You never know where you're going to go until you get there. So much love being in the moment on the journey. Namaste, my friends.